I want you just to be blessed this morning. How many of you are saved? You know you're saved. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have in some services want to come in and say, how many of you want to die and go to hell? Raise your hand. I don't think you'd find that. Now, I'm going to tell you, Brother Bob and always whoever's in the council room does an awesome job, and all those who lead people to Christ in there. And that's where the net is drawn and where all those who have prepared and prayed so long, that's where God gives the fruit and the increase. And I do remind you, not just the number that's been saved. Thank God for everyone's been saved. But always there are some that we don't know that get saved. But beyond that, you'll have no idea over the years that Tim Wynn and all of you have been involved in Judgment House, the impact on area churches and souls that have been saved as kind of like a ripple from all that went on around here. So that's an investment in lives of those who get saved, also in other Christians who come, but in church ministries that are multiplied. And thank the Lord for that. I appreciate you doing every bit of that. But I sat in Brother Bob two nights and got to hear him. And he's doing an awesome job in presentation of the gospel. And I thank the Lord for him, for his family. Psalms 48. I would love to sing this morning. It was my birthday, and I missed getting to sing on my birthday. Psalms 48. How many of you know Lester Roloff? You've ever heard of Lester Roloff? Now, he's old. He's in heaven now. But Brother Lester Roloff, for several years, great preacher, evangelistic preacher. But he had a children's home and a boy's home and a girl's home down in Corpus Christi, Texas. But they memorized Scripture. I'm talking about in those schools and ministries, they memorized Scripture. He used to have a group of girls that called the Honeybee Quartet or something other, Honeybee something other. And they'd go and they'd stand up here and they'd quote entire chapters out of the Bible. I mean, it's just absolutely awesome and what they do. And he'd say Psalm 48. They'd quote Psalm 48. He said Psalm something something. And they'd quote all of that. And then they'd sing. Well, here's one of the little songs they sang out of the Psalms. And if I mess up, my wife is right here, and maybe she'll help me fill up. How many of you have ever sung Psalms 48, the first few verses? All right, good. Y'all going to help me with this. Amen. Sing with me. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great King. Now, how many of you sing? Do you like that little song? That's the song. You know, there are hymn books you can get that got all the psalms set to music, and the psalms are actually songs. Sing it again. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great King. Now watch as we read the psalm together, Psalms 48, and I'll just read you. Listen, great is the Lord. Everybody say great.
Great.
Great is the Lord, and greatly, say greatly,
great,
to be praised. Now how many of you feel like this morning you've already greatly praised Him? I don't think I really greatly praised Him. I was getting a little bit of a touch over there when the choir was singing. I personally like that a cappella singing, amen? I like it with the music or without the music, but y'all real troopers this morning. That's a blessing. Greatly to be praised. Notice what it said. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, and they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hastened away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of Thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of Thy temple, according to Thy name, O God. So is Thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. Walk about Zion and go around about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bullocks and consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever, and will be our God even unto death. What's a blessing, isn't it? Thank God. This God is our God. This God is our God. Now, which God is that? Which God is that? There's only one God in this category. It is God Jehovah. It is the God. He is God. Amen. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help us. God, give us your anointing. Our Father, I realize that many, our Father, are physically tired this morning. They've worked long hours this week, public work, and then worked long hours in Judgment House. Thank you, our Father, for their sacrifice. Thank you for the leadership of Brother Tim and Wendy and all those who are part of Judgment House. Thank you for churches and those who come great distances to be blessed, and they felt like there was a good reason to come, that their young people could hear the gospel and be saved. And God, churches, I know, have been helped and blessed, and folk have been saved. And our Father, if there was one saved, it'd be worth all the effort of God's people. And God, I thank you for their labor of love. And God, I thank you, Lord, for the revival. Thank you, Lord, just for letting me be a little part of whatever you're doing. And I pray, God, you'd help me most of all to praise you. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one day last week, I was just praying, doing some time alone with the Lord. And I was asking God very sincerely from my heart, God, what can I do for you? I'm 70 years old. I may live to be 100, and I hope I can, but the odds are kind of against that. I'd like for every one of you to live to be 100, but now since I've been here, Brother Jack Langdon and Ms. Langdon were the two oldest that I buried. They were 95 each, and they were separated by death when Brother Jack went home to be with the Lord, and then Ms. Langdon went home 14 days later. And that was as long in their whole marriage. I forget 70-something years. I don't know if Bob and Lee, any of them are here this morning, but that was the longest they were ever separated in all of their marriage. The days when he went home to be with the Lord, and then she got to go 14 days later. That's the longest they ever separated. But that's as old as people as I got that I buried. I buried a lot younger than I am. But I honestly was asking the Lord, Lord, what can I do for you? I want to really do something for you. And this passage of Scripture God laid on my heart. He said, read Psalms 48. Now, what I do a lot of times in the morning and not studying, but just sometimes, and I want you to learn to mind the Holy Ghost. If it's daytime, if it's middle of the day, it's late at night, whatever, God may lay a passage of Scripture on your heart. It may not be in the Psalms. It may be somewhere else. But some reason or other, you'll just have this little voice saying, read John 3:16. I might read that. I want you to learn to mind the Holy Ghost. He's got something for you right there. And don't say, hey, don't do like I did. Because I said, Lord, I've read Psalm 48 several times the last few days. He said, read it again. And I just got through praying, Lord, what can I do for you? And here's what it said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Can I tell you, I had one more camp meeting in my soul and in that hotel room. I know they thought someone was being beaten, battered before it was over with. God got so real to me in there. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Did you know the God who loved you and gave his son to die for you? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Great, great. He's not a great God. He's the great God. He's not one among many. He's the only one in that category. There are little g gods. They're demons and they're false gods. But he's the God. He's the only God. And he's great. Great is the Lord. And you know, Brother Brad, he talks about God is good. And we say God is good all the time. All the time. God's good, and he is, but God's great. God's great. From A to Z, he's great. Number one, he's great in his ability. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you're able to ask or think. Now, I can look around this room and tell you we got some great minds in here. I can look at your face and tell that we got great minds in here. But if we took all of our mental capabilities in this room, and we could imagine whatever we could ever imagine, some great thing, wouldn't it be something? But listen, he said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you're able to ask or to think. He can do more than you can think. Now, I know some big thinkers, but he can do more. He's able and abundantly to do more than we can ask or think. He's a great God in his ability. Jeremiah, they ask in one of the work in the book of Genesis, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Is anything too hard for God? And Jeremiah answers this, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's not one thing he can't do. He's great in his ability. He's great in his answers to prayer. Oh, listen, he said in one of the passages, he said, while they're asking, the answer will already be on the way. Isn't that good? God knows what things you have need of before you ever ask him. And so sometimes you ask him for something, he's already known the need, he's already got everything ready for you, and the answer's already on the way. He's great in answered prayer. God does answer prayer. He's a great prayer answering God. Thou that answereth prayer is what one of the prophets said. He's the one who answers prayer. He's great in his blessings. The Bible said he daily loadeth us with blessings. You remember I preached a message on the highway shepherd about count your blessings. I'm talking about just going through the house, open your kitchen cabinet and thanking for the potted meat and thanking for the vianas and thanking for the peanut butter and the dried beans and for the macaroni and cheese. Thank him for all that's in that cabinet. Go through and just count it all that's in there. Go through your closet, ladies. It'll take you a while. And thank him for every piece of clothing you got. And if you add the shoes to it, it'll be to August of next year. Say amen right there, God. But you thank him for everything, every little thing that you've got. Thank him for your breath. Thank him. But listen, he's great in his blessings. He blesses us. He said if we'd be faithful in the book of Malachi, he said, I open up the windows of heaven, pour you out of blessings you can't even receive. He can give us more blessings. He's great, my dear friend, in his compassion. Great in his compassion. Jeremiah said it's because of his compassions that they fail not. Oh, listen, his compassion, his greatest compassion. Compassion means to suffer with, to suffer with. You've got loved ones who are sick. You have loved ones that you've known who were suffering, and you were hurting just like they were hurting. Oh, they were suffering physically, but you were hurting as well. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is great in compassion. He loves us. Loves us. And oh, listen, in the letter D, he's great in his dominion. He's great in his dominion. That means he's sovereign. I preached on that the other Sunday. He's over everything. By him, all things consist. He's not relinquished any of his power. This world is not out of control. It's under his control. My dear friend, he still has dominion over this. He said this, so far as the Lord's concerned, that he reigneth over all the affairs of men. He's in control. He's still in control. And then not only that, but when you come to the letter E in the Bible, oh, listen, he is eternal in the past and in the present and in the future. He's forever the same. He is our eternal God. Amen. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Oh, listen, he's great in his edifying. He encourages us, great in his encouragement, building us up and all those things. F, he's great in his faithfulness. Don't raise your hands. Have you ever failed the Lord? Have you ever been unfaithful to him? Then I'd like for anybody in here to stand up and say, God's not been faithful to me. I failed the Lord, but he's never failed me. He's a great God. He's great in his faithfulness. When he comes back on that white horse coming out of the book of Revelation, when he comes back, it says on his side, on his thigh, he has a name written, he's faithful. Faithful. You can believe this one thing. He's going to be faithful. Thank God he won't ever leave you. He won't ever forsake you. He's great in his faithfulness. Oh, listen, he's great in his forgiveness. Not one time have I ever come to him and said, God, I've sinned. Please forgive me. That he didn't forgive me. I've often wondered why I waited so long. But he's never, ever once, if I come to him, he said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My dear friend, listen, he's great in his forgiveness. There's not one thing you've done, not one thing anybody in the media audience has ever done that he cannot forgive you of, except for one thing, and that is that you won't come to him. When Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem, he wept. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have forgiven you? How oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers a chick, but you would not come to me that you might have life? He wept over that. That's not crocodile tears. You used to have one of the things about the you know, the pollution in the world and had the Native American man and a big tear rolling down his cheek as he looked out across the landscape of America, saw all the pollution, saw everything. And he had one tear rolling down his cheek. But when it said Jesus wept over Jerusalem, that's not what's implied. That's not the Greek word. It has the idea of to be overcome with burden or sorrow or anguish. It means that he convulsed. He was weeping uncontrollably with a broken heart over those people. You know why? He's not willing that any should perish. That's a great God. It's a great God. Knowing that not long, in a matter of days, they'd spit in his face, they'd pull his beard out, they'd beat him with a rod, and yet he had such great compassion, he had such a great burden, and he offered such great forgiveness that they could have all of their sins forgiven. He's great in his forgiveness. There's not one thing you've ever done, if you'll be honest and come to him and confess it, that he cannot do that. Can I say to you, he's great as fortune. His greatest fortune. You may not have, you think, all you need, but you do have all you need. But I'm going to tell you, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's got everything you need. Everything you need. You say, Brother Billy, the Bible said everything belongs to him. Everything in this universe belongs to him. And it's all at the disposal of God's children. God will take care of you. He's a great God. He's not limited in his resources. He'll meet every need you've got if you'll but trust him and look to him. Oh, listen, he's great in his fortune. But my dear friend, can I say this to you? He's great in his grace, the letter G. He's great in all of his grace towards you. Grace greater than all my sin. He's great in his guidance. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love that. In John 10, he said this, he puts forth his sheep and he goes before them. That means this, if you're a child of God, if you're a sheep, that everywhere you go, he gets there before you do. Amen. You get an urgent phone call, somebody, your family member's in the hospital, they've been in a wreck, and you anxiously get there. Can I tell you, he gets there before you do. He's there before you are. He goes before us. He's great in his leadership. He leads us and guides us all the time. Everywhere we go, he's great. Can I say he's great in his holiness? None like him. Absolutely holy. I tell you, I don't like profanity. I don't want to use profanity. And I asked God to forgive me years ago before I got right with God. Anything like that. But I tell you, when people use the Lord's name in vain, and then particularly when they talk about him, I think, in a derogatory manner, when they talk about him as being the man upstairs, he's not the man upstairs. He's a holy God and righteous. And I tell you, attitudes will change drastically when you come into his presence. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up. He confessed his guilt. He confessed his cleansing. And Job said, I repent. I abhor myself, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. And the Bible said that when we meet him, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's an awesome God. He's great in his holiness, his purity. He's great, my dear friend, in his intercession. Great in his intercession. He never fails to pray for you. I found that it's very difficult for me to pray for every one of you by name every day. I'm confessing now. I pray for you as a group, and I pray for individuals and everything. But I set out several months ago, I was going to try to pray for everybody every day by name. It got to be a little bit, you know, routine. And so God's dealt with my heart a little differently about it. But I pray for this church, I pray for you. Sometimes during the middle of the day, God will lay somebody's name on my heart, and I pray for you. And I'm glad that you've prayed for me. I believe I'm reaping now, 3 years later, the benefits of your prayers back when I was sick. I believe y'all just overdone it, praise God. That's what the problem is. But God's a great God. But I've got some good prayer warriors and good people who pray for me and all of this. And I thank God for that. And you all do. But here's the awesome thing to think about. The Lord Jesus Christ, who causes the sun to rise to set, causes the tides to go in and out, who feeds all the birds and all the animals and everything, He's in control of this whole universe. He's so omniscient, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And not one sparrow falls in the ground without His knowledge. That God ever liveth to make intercession for you. He's making intercession. Today He's called your name before the Father. When the high priest went into the temple, he wore a breastplate, and on it, that breastplate were 12 stones, and it had the names of all the tribes of Israel on it. He not only that, but he had on his shoulders onyx stones, and etched in those stones were the names of all the children of Israel. And when he went into the presence of God, he carried in the presence of God with him that all of the nation of Israel on his heart and upheld on his shoulders. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ is our high priest. So in heaven, your name is in the person of the high priest. Every day he calls your name. I wish I could remember all the names of everybody I've met, all the places I've been, good people, people that need a burden, need a care. But I really can't remember all the names. But I'm going to tell you right now, not one of them's forgotten. Not one of you forgotten, from the smallest child to the most senior saint in this building or in the internet audience. He knows your name, and it's being called in heaven right now. I'm going to tell you right now, for no other reason, you ought not sit there like a pimple. Say amen. Amen. Praise God. He called your name. Amen. He's great. He's great in His intercession. He's great in His justice. He's great in His justice. There are things that happen in this nation and in people's lives that you see the injustice. But can I just say this to you? Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with it. Oh, it may be for a while. It may be in this court system, but not in that court system. You have to give an account for everything you've done in the flesh, whether they were good or bad. God's a God of justice. He's a God in His keeping power. Thank God He's able to keep us and to hold us in the palm of His hand. He's able to keep us. Paul said, I'm convinced that He's able to commit to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. He's great in His keeping power. You don't have to keep yourself saved. He's able to do that. He keeps you saved. And then the letter L, His long suffering. If it wasn't for the long suffering of God, everyone in this building about would be dead by now. We've tried His patience. We read about Israel, how they provoked Him, how they caused His wrath to kindle against them. But I'm going to tell you right now, if it wasn't for His long suffering toward us, we'd already be consumed. Thank God He's great in His long suffering. He's great in His mercy, and He's great in His majesty, and He's great in His memory. He remembers every one of us, every need we've got. He's great in His nourishing. He's great in His nurturing, and He's great in His nearness. Now, here's an amazing thing. I don't care where you go, He goes with you. I don't care if you're in a crowd or if you're right by yourself. He's a great God. He's near you. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil, for Thou art with me. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He's great, my dear friend, in His nearness. He's great in His omnipotence. He's great, my dear friend, in His overseeing. He's great in His promises. He's great in His pardon. He's great in His protection. He's great in His quest for souls. He's great in His reign. He's great in His redemption. He's great. We're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's great as a Savior. He's great in the Scriptures. He's great with His truth, and He's great in His trustworthiness. You can depend on what He said. You can trust Him. He's great in His victory. He's great, my dear friend, in His voice, in His voice. No other voice like that in all the world. I was reading through the Song of Solomon, and the bride said, the voice of my beloved, I hear His voice. I wonder how many of you have ever really heard His voice. You don't hear it audibly. You hear it in your heart. It's indescribable, but it's undeniable. You can't express it, but it's real. You know it when He speaks to you. You know that's God. You know it's the voice of the Lord speaking to your heart. Great in His voice. when our first daughter, Christy, died, Regina and I had so many friends to come, so many family, and they all loved us and held us and prayed for us and tried to console us and all those things. It was just such an outpouring of love for God's people to come help us when Christy went home with the Lord. But on the morning after she died, I went into a place with the Word of God by myself, and it just opened. I didn't hunt it. It just opened to John chapter 14. That's why it's one of my favorite passages of scriptures. My heart was breaking. Regina's heart was breaking. It was just for a husband to look at her and know how she was hurting. Nothing I could do, even as a husband or as I had sort of surrendered to preach. I couldn't help her that much other than love and hold and pray for her. That everybody had spoke good words to me, biblical words, loving words, compassionate words. But in a place by myself, I opened it up. In His voice, He spoke to my heart. And He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And I'm going to tell you, that was the most amazing transformation in my life right that moment that lasted all the way through the experience of the burial and all those things in the years to follow. I've always had a peace in my heart that Christy was in heaven. I've always had an assurance that she's safe and she's well. Never worried about her. And God's allowed me to live in such a way that I don't remember all, I don't go back and rehash all the events of that day or all the preceding time of her sickness. But in that moment, God, the Holy Ghost, God spoke to my heart just like He spoke to that sea and said, "Peace, be still." If for no other reason, I want to serve Him the rest of my life. And I have. I have. Have I failed Him? I failed Him. But since that day that I heard His voice, I've not worried about her. I'll know where she's at. I know just sure as I'm standing here, I'll see her again. And I don't understand God's plan of purpose, but thank God He spoke peace to my heart. You ever heard His voice? Some of you can recall the day He spoke to you with a voice of forgiveness and called you His son and gave you everlasting life. Oh, He's great in His voice. He's great, my dear friend, in not only His voice, but He's great in His wisdom and His wonder and also in His wrath. The letter X, He's great in His exalted position, high above every name that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. He's great in His yoke. This past week, I listened once again, and you'll get to hear it one of these days. Brother Avery Rogers had a message, kind of like I preach on the birds still singing. Brother Avery Rogers preached on a message called Yoke with Jesus. And he had a lot of experiences in days previous to that, knowing about oxen and the yokes and all that. And he preached a message on yoke with Jesus. And the text was this, "My yoke is easy and my burden's light." And oh, listen, He's great in His yoke. Let me kind of give you a little gist of the message, just a little bit, a little tidbit. He said, you don't try to break two young oxen together. You don't teach them to pull together. You take a young ox and an old ox. And you have them to go. And Brother Avery said he was at a place one time and they had this wagon loaded with rocks, huge rocks. And he said it was tongue heavy. Said a dozen men couldn't pick the front of it up. And he said, but they put the whatever it is on it and then had the yoke. And they led that old oxen up under it, and they put the yoke on him. Then they led the young ox up under him and put the yoke on him. He said, just a matter of a minute, he said that old ox bowed his shoulders, and he picked up the tongue of that wagon. And that little yoke, that young oxen, he thought he was doing something, but he really wasn't doing a thing. That one old oxen, with all his power, lifted the load. And can I tell you right now, when you're walking with Jesus, He lifts that load. He carries a load for you. He has the power to pull. All you got to learn is to walk in cadence with Him. Yes. walk with Him. He'll teach you how to go. He'll lift that burden. He'll carry the load. Oh, He's great in His yoke. How many of you has ever lifted your burden? Will you raise your hand? You couldn't help yourself, but He lifted your burden. He's great. He's great in burden lifting. He's great in that yoke. He's great in His zeal for Zion. This psalm is a messianic song. It's a song of prophecy about when He rules and reigns in Zion, which is Jerusalem. He's great in His zeal. Can I tell you, America is not God's favorite nation. He loves us. He's impartial. He loves us. Grace is the same. But I'm going to tell you right now, Israel is still the apple of His eye. And He's made a promise to them. He'll keep His word. I don't care what we do in treaties and what we do or don't do. America's not the defender of Israel. If we align ourselves and continue to support Israel, God will bless us because of our faithfulness to Israel. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to take care of Israel. He is in control of that. Oh, I'm not finished yet. I ain't even quitting yet. You thought I was through, didn't you? That's just half of that verse. Great. How many of you say great? Great. Is God great or not? Is He your God or not? Say yes, if He is. He's a great God. He's a great God. But then it said, He's a great God. I mean, He's all those things and a million more that I couldn't even begin to say this morning. And so great is the Lord, and so a little bit to be praised. Is that what it said? It said, greatly. Everybody say greatly. Greatly to be praised. God's been good to you. God saved you. God forgave all of your sin. He gave you a home in heaven. He's clothed you today. He's given you your health. He's given you your wealth. Everything's taken care of. He's been good to you. He ought to be greatly praised and magnified. Your praise ought to be vocal. In the book of Psalms, He said this, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. Everybody, and that was pitiful. He's a great God. He ain't a little bitty God. He's a great God. Say, praise the Lord.
Praise
your praise ought to be vocal. Yes. Vocal. I tell you right now, people get more excited over football games around here in Little League baseball and everything. They'll shout, hoot, and holler. But I'm going to tell you, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And our praise ought to be vocal. Yeah. That nobody will know that you're a Christian. Nobody will know how good God is unless you tell them. They will not get it on CNN. They will not get it on Fox or anywhere else. But if He's done something for you and He's real to you, He's to be greatly praised. Amen. And it ought to be vocal. We ought to just magnify the Lord. I tell you, you have a hard time witnessing. When you check out, you just say, God gave us a beautiful day today, didn't He? The Lord's been good to us. The Lord's blessed us. I'm glad I'm alive. I'm thanking for His mercy. God's been good to me. It ought to be praised vocally. How many of you agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Everybody ought to do that. We ought to praise Him. Don't be ashamed of Him. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. We ought to magnify the Lord. Our praise ought to be vocal. Our praise ought to be visible.
Yes.
I'm not talking about just praising Him in a motel room or in your bedroom or in your office at home or in the kitchen, wherever you're at, but you ought to praise Him publicly. It ought to be visible. David said, He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a rock, solid rock. He established my going. He put a new song in my heart. Many will see it and fear. How can you see a song? I've seen a song. I've seen a song sometime when Brad or Ricky or some of these folks, some of these ladies sing around here. I can see the song. If I was totally deaf, I could still see the song because I can see it in their face. They're not doing something just to be doing something. They're not doing it in a professional way. They're singing from their heart. And I can see it on their face. And listen, He said, you ought to praise the Lord. Our praise ought to be visible. David said, many shall see it and fear. When they see your face, you see it on your countenance. The Bible said that after they'd been with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, when they perceived that they were ignorant, unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. They saw something different about them. They saw their song. They saw it. Your praise ought to be visible. If tell your face if you're happy. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't go around with the mully grub. Praise God. Hee-haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. He's real.
Yes.
How many of you know He's real?
Amen.
He's alive.
Amen.
Praise God. We ought to magnify Him. It ought to be seen on your face. It ought to be visible. Thank God. It'll be vocal. It'll be vibrant. It'll be alive. Don't say, whoopee. You ought to praise Him. Don't be ashamed. It'll be lively. I'm not talking about putting on a show or anything, but I'm talking about just praising Him, magnifying Him, glorifying Him. Our praise ought to be vibrant. It'll be real. It ought to be universal. Anywhere you go, everywhere you go, and it ought to be continual. You ought to be continual. My dear friend, He's worthy of our praise. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what in the world can I do for You? I want to do something for You in these last days. Here's what He said. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The Bible said He's seeking such to worship Him. How do you worship Him? You worship Him in your adoration. You worship Him in your praise. You worship Him with your voice, with your life. Worship Him. You ought to praise the Lord. You ought to praise Him, my dear friend, corporately, that is with the church. He said, I will magnify Your name in the assembly. We'll praise Him in the church house. I mean, don't come in. And, you know, just when you enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Did He say that or not? He did. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Come in. You ought to do it corporately. Come in to praise the Lord, but you ought to do it privately. You ought to worship Him privately. My dear friend, you ought to do it personally. It'll be very personal to you that you're going to worship the Lord. If nobody else around you worships Him, nobody else around you magnifies Him, nobody else around you praises Him, you ought to praise Him. It ought to be spontaneous. There are times that it just comes on you, but it ought to also be perpetual. It'll be all the time. You ought to praise Him in the sunshine and in the rain. You ought to worship Him and magnify Him and give Him glory in sickness and in health. You ought to praise Him in good times and bad times. You ought to praise Him with your mouth, but you ought to praise Him with your life. You ought to praise Him with your feet, but you also ought to praise Him with your fortune. You ought to praise Him with your hands, but you also ought to praise Him with your heart. Praise Him upon the stringed instrument, the trumpet, the drum, the jug, or whatever else it is. You ought to magnify the Lord. You ought to praise Him when you get up and praise Him when you go to bed. You ought to praise the Lord. He's worthy of our praise. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, why should we do that? Because He commands it. He commands us to worship Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Can I say to you, there are no suggestions in this Bible. And in all of those verbs, there is the imperative, which is the command type word. You ought to praise Him. Just praise. That's a command. And if we don't worship Him, we don't praise Him, we disobey Him. And that's tops on the list, that we worship Him and praise Him. We're to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and you can't love Him if you don't praise Him. If you do love Him, you will praise Him. We ought to praise Him and magnify the Lord. You ought to praise Him, number one, because it's commanded. But number two, you ought to praise Him for your own self. I don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but when you're always talking about, you know, bad things, you feel bad. When you always kind of, you know, talking about the negative, you feel negative. But there's something about if you just start praising Him. Somebody said it's amazing what praising can do. I mean, if it'll help you to praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, if there's any good thing, you think on that. You magnify Him. He's good. We're going to praise Him. We're going to magnify the Lord. It's good for you. It's good for you. It's good for you. You know what? I read an amazing article from a non-Christian publication, a medical publication some time ago. And it caught my attention because this, prayer is good for you. Prayer is good for you. And I read it and they said they'd done all of this study and they found out that people who pray regularly, who worship regularly, who praise regularly, that they are healthier than everybody else. And they live longer than most people. Why? Because that's just the way it is. It's good for you. But then as David said, many shall see it. You're living in a dark age. I don't know if you know that or not. I'm sure you do. This is a time of problems in our nation and darkness. And if there's just a few people that have the real joy in their heart, I mean, it's people that just really radiate the joy and praise of God. there are enough people out there that wonder what's wrong with you. And you'll tell them not what's wrong with you, but what's right with you. The Bible said, he said in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he said that when the Lord's people love him and worship him and praise him, they'll ask you the reason for the hope that's in you. Great is the Lord. You say, Brother Billy, this is so elementary. But you didn't get it yet because you ain't worshiping him. We're not praising him like we ought to. He's real. I mean, he's a great God. Why, you say, Brother Billy, don't you know there's floods and disasters and all that? Oh, yeah, yeah. But he didn't say you praise me just in the good times. You praise him all the time. Worship him all the time. Magnify him all the time. God's good all the time. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He's a great God. Will you bow your heads in prayer? That's the first 2 points of my message. The last was the last verse. I'm going to give it to you in a way of an invitation. And he said, as great as this God is, he is, this God is our God forever and ever. And he will be our guide even unto death. If God the Holy Ghost would let you just see a little bit of how big God is and how much he loves you, and the fact that he'll be your God forever and ever, and he'll be your guide even unto death. Boy, it changed our lives. We live a life of victory and praise and magnify him. You say, Brother Billy, this God is our God. How does he get to be your God? There's only one way. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, this is my command that you believe on me. You believe on him. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And this God becomes your God. What a great God. Boy, wouldn't it be good to have somebody like that? I mean, to be your best friend. I mean, somebody that knows everything. Somebody that can do anything. Somebody who has an inexhaustible amount of wealth. Somebody who can lead you in the right way of life and holiness and victory. This God is our God forever and ever, and be our guide even unto death. But the sad thing is, he's not that to some of us. To some folk, he's not that. Because they've never been saved, because they've never learned and studied, know about him. The more you know about him, the more you praise him. The more you magnify him, the more you trust him, the more you love him, the more you rely on him. As you study about him, Paul said that I might know him, the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. Oh, my dear friend, our praise is so lacking in our corporate worship, in our private life, in our invisible part of our life. He is a great God and greatly to be praised. Can I tell you, that says nothing about conditional according to your condition. Regardless of what you're going through, he's still a great God. And we magnify him. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Don't raise your hand. I'm going to ask you two or three questions. Number one, do you praise him like he's a great God? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Are we behind on our praising? Are we behind on our exalting him? Do we get overwhelmed with problems and burdens and things going on around us in this nation? That's what we talk about instead of how great our God is. He's a great God and greatly to be praised. If not, we need to ask God to forgive us and ask God to help us, to lead us into worship and praise. The other thing is this, can you say beyond any shadow of doubt, this God is my God forever and ever, and he'll be my guide even unto death. If you don't know that for sure, you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Savior. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you for speaking to my heart. Lord, I don't believe that this psalm and this thought and this blessing was just for me. Father, I felt like as you let me worship you and magnify you and praise you, that God, you spoke to my heart. This is what you want me to preach here in this place this morning. You're great God and greatly to be praised. Oh, Lord God, things are changed drastically when we die and we realize it's all true. Our sins are forgiven. We'll be in heaven for all eternity. No more sickness or sorrow, pain. God, then we'll rightly praise you like we ought to. But God, I pray you'd forgive us and purge us and help us, God, to be praising you now. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised right now. God, help us to magnify you, glorify you. God, these are your people. I pray, God, that, Lord, that you speak to their heart. And while we are here with our heads bowed, eyes are closed this morning, again, I know the auditorium is a little bit difficult for you to get towards the front. But I wonder this morning, right where you're sitting, you're in the building, you're in the radio audience, in the internet audience, and you could not say that this God is my God because you've never trusted Jesus Christ. Would you do that right now? Would you be willing right now to call on him? Call on him. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I encourage you to do that right now. God's Holy Spirit speaks to you. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to say. But I encourage you right now to turn to him.